Weekend Breakfast
with Alison Curtis.
Playing the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM. The Sunday Sit Down on Weekend Breakfast.
Yes, it's the Sunday Sit Down. As promised, Paul Howard in studio. How are you?
Great, Alison. Brilliant.
It's
great to
see
be here.
You. I can't remember when you were on last.
It was probably 2 years ago.
Was it?
When the last Gordon's Game Book came out, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
That's when it was.
Can I still refer to you as a friend of the show, even though it's an infrequent friendship?
We'll always be friends.
And we have Gordon on the phone line. Gordon Darcy, how are you?
I'm not too bad, Alison. How are you doing?
Great, great. So I have in my hand a copy of Let's Play. It's so beautifully illustrated, and we can talk about that in a few moments' time. But, Paul, will you maybe start, or who's better to start about how this project came about? Gordon, are you better to kind of say how you wanted to, you want to get this project underway?
Yeah, so I think it was, I've gone through kind of the whole spectrum of kids' books now, and actually my kids are starting to read the Gordon's Game books, but I've gone through everything from, you know, the first books where you're doing the first words, the Gruffalo, the all the Julia Donaldson ones, there's an elf in your book, all the kind of picture books, and then kind of graduating into the actual reading books.
Yeah.
And there was never really much in the way around sport. So I did what I did with the Gordon's Game. I gave Paul a ring and said, listen, I have this idea. What do you think? And we caught up for a coffee. We kind of put a bit of a plan together. And then we went and I went out and started trying to talk to a few publishers and see could we get one to land. And Little Island, huge thank you to everybody there.
Yeah.
Especially Matthew, because he saw it straight away and he went, yeah, let's do it.
That's great. And the thing is, Paul, is a lot of people think that, you know, writing for young kids is the easiest thing to do in the world. And we've talked about this before, but it's actually so hard.
I mean, it's easy to write words on a page, but what words? And kids are so discerning.
Yeah, you know, they really are.
You know, they really are. And this looks like, I think this book is probably, because it's a picture book, brilliantly illustrated by Ashwin Checo. Because it's a picture book that you might think, well, there's only about 500 words in that. I'm sure they wrote that in an afternoon. But you write it and then you debate it.
Yes.
And you take things out and you put things back in and you reword things. So I'd say we wrote it over the course of about 4 months, arguing back and forth. I mean, Gordon's just so great to work with, you know, because, you know, he's a great collaborator, but also he's been there.
Yes, this book, of course.
This book, you know, it's an interactive book and it seeks to put kids in the shoes of somebody playing
exactly
a Six Nations game.
And that's what's so important. And I suppose from, you know, you've got words in bold. So it's like to start with jog on the spot and count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I suppose in many ways writing it as well, Paul, you wanted kids to not only have that experience of being that player, thinking about that, but like learning words.
Learning
that's
words.
Why you put them in the way that you have.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, and to try to make the text exciting and, you know, kind of vibrant and words to stand out and everything. But, you know, and the same as Gordon, I mean, I buy a lot of kids' books for, you know, godchildren, nephews, nieces, and it's always surprised me over the years how few books there are about sport.
Yeah.
For, you know, the age group that we wrote the Gordon's Game series for, so that's kind of older kids,
mm-hmm.
but especially for young kids, very young kids as well. And sport is drama. That's the reason I can't understand why there's not more sports books for kids.
I know.
It's the drama of it. And this one, the reader gets to know what it's like to jump in a line out, to score
this
a try,
is my favorite
to kick
page.
A conversion.
To spin. Gordon, I love this. To score a try when they spin with the ball. You actually have a spinny thing on the page so people can follow it. It's just so interactive.
Yeah, well, here, that's the other thing as well. So at the age group this is pitched for, you're kind of reading to the kids rather than them actually doing the reading and you being there. That kind of happens a little bit later. So you can actually get them interactive because they're sitting down and then there's an instruction and they've got to hop up and they've got to do their warm-up exercise. And then it's back in, okay, what's the next bit? Okay, we're reading here. And then it's like, okay, now you got to get ready for the line-out jump. So that little bit of up and down creates that.
Yeah.
Obviously, the interaction with it and the spinning the book and there's... you know, have, can you get the kick to win and all these little bits and pieces. My kids loved it. So when I got the first copy in the hands, I have a 4-year-old, I have an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old, and they all loved doing the, you know, playing out the little bits of the game of rugby, and then of course scoring the try, and then
of course
they get to lift the trophy at the end. So there's a lot of fun to it.
There is, and you want that magic too, because not every child is a natural reader, and you know, sometimes it's a little bit of a struggle, and the more interactive it is and the more that everybody can participate at a young age, isn't it true, Paul, the more likely they are to read.
Yeah, absolutely, and also to play rugby as well, so it's a kind of a dual-edged sword, you know. But it is a great way to, like you said, to introduce kids to new words and to link those words with an action.
Yes.
That's the exciting thing. And Gordon mentioned there at the very end, there's a double page spread of a trophy. And
it's
you get to hold the trophy aloft at the end.
I've never won anything, so I'm going to pretend this is what I won.
only one of the three of us then has actually lifted a trophy before,
actually,
right, Gordon?
Speaking, Gordon, I'm going to play you a clip, okay? Hold on one second. I want you to listen carefully to this moment and relive it.
Darcy stands them up, rounds them, and he's over! Gordon Darcy ducked one way, then the other, and Ireland have a third try on the afternoon, and the delight for the man who has spent the guts of 12 months on the injury bench.
Do you think about that all the time, Gordon?
I don't, but I have it's one of the few bits of rugby memorabilia I have in my house. It's quite a big moment for me in my career, because I broke my arm 12 months previous. And I had got to the point where I had my third operation on it. So I broke my arm in 8 places, and it wasn't a straightforward return from that.
Yeah.
So I'd had three surgeries on it, and at the last one, the surgeon was like, "Listen, if this doesn't work this time, we're going to have to kind of call it quits." So it was a long road back, and then scoring that try. And I think injuries are very, very personal type of thing. I was talking to Craig Casey, bumped into him during the week, and he's got an injury. And how personal it is for everybody, but every rugby player knows, you know, how dark it can be. And when you come back and you get to score like that, and
of course,
come on, and in the context of the winning the first Grand Slam, it was a lovely, lovely moment for me. So
it was a moment I think I became a massive rugby fan. I decided, and 2009 was a good year to decide you're going to actually become a massive rugby fan. Can I ask you, looking ahead, Gordon, as well, next Saturday, kicking off again, Ireland v England, Aviva Stadium, like when those moments turn around and come back again, I'm sure you're an avid watcher, but do you kind of get back into the headspace of what it was like on the pitch and like obviously have sympathies for players in that role as well?
I don't, thankfully I don't go back into the headspace. I finished rugby in a really, really good place, very happy with what I did on the pitch, and I've so when I watch them, I think about my own memories, but I don't look and go, oh, I'd love to be there again. But it's a real privilege, and it's a real honour to be playing, and I think sometimes you forget about that in professionalism. Like, they're still representing their country, and I think that weight and that responsibility, It is something that I think players enjoy, and wanting to represent the country and wanting to win for the people of Ireland. It is a real honour to be able to put that jersey on.
It's so exciting for us as spectators, isn't
like
it?
Really?
Like, Paul, like, I love it. It's back.
Somebody who's never done anything remotely athletic in his life. I can only be in awe of Gordon, you know.
Oh, listen, guys, it's a pleasure as always. We've kept up the tradition, so thank you very much. We've got copies. We've got two copies, actually, and we're going to get them signed and sent out. So if people would like to get their hands on Let's Play Rugby, all you have to do is text in Let's Play and your own name to 0874 100102. Gordon Darcy, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
Take care, bye. And Paul, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
We have to find another excuse to have you in.
Listen, I'd come every week.
I still love Aldrin and Cheese, like Nightmares. I love that book so much.
Right,
I do.
Okay. Well, I might write another one of those then.
Do.
Yeah,
thanks
excuse
so much.
Excuse to get back in.
Weekend Breakfast
with Alison Curtis.
Playing the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today.